Is Tesla about to go bankrupt? Interesting question, but that's not the question I want to deal with today. Stay tuned. Sorry for the enigmatic start. I've just got to get your attention somehow. I'm trying to educate you, but I sneakily got to make it entertaining, I guess. So I was just going through my LinkedIn feed earlier, and up pops an analyst talking about Tesla. And what struck me wasn't the fact that he thought Tesla could possibly go bankrupt, that it is the most overvalued stock in history, and that its business model is broken. Although if you invest in Tesla, those are important things. By the way, just to disclose, I am an investor in Tesla currently, but I may not be soon. I may choose to divest. Now, I am not giving you any stock investing advice. God only knows that is not something I'm qualified in or experienced enough to give any advice to anyone about. So that's not what I'm doing. Do your own homework on Tesla. But the point is this, I haven't done enough homework. I didn't do enough homework in the first place when I bought it. I just thought it would be a fun ride and it's educational, and it has been both of those things. Sounds a bit playful, but it was only $1,000 invested. So I figure I'm not going to lose my life savings or bet my pension on it. But the education component is really, really important, because I think what interests me is not whether this guy's right or wrong, but the way he argued and talked about the stock and how he thought it was overvalued was for me the right way of thinking. Now, the results is not always going to be the same as reality, the result of your thinking and calculations all the time. But over time, if you have an accurate mental model, mental models of the world, I think your results should track reality, and over time, they will guide you well. So what this guy was talking about is Per Lakander of Clean Energy Transition, to give him credit, sounded Scandinavian. And basically, I summarized what I understood from it. He's saying that whilst Tesla has claimed issues, okay, that the headline is, I guess, that Tesla is about to report some really bad quarterly earnings. Publicly listed companies report earnings quarterly, and indeed all the other financial statements. Whereas, of course, smaller businesses tend to think only in terms of annual reports, although they're mainly broke down monthly. So here's the thing. He said, first of all, there's been a claim that maybe by Elon Musk, maybe other people who are more fans of Tesla, that they had some arson and therefore there was a production problem. But he said, well, but if you look at the inventory, it's really excess inventory. They have a huge pile of unsold cars somewhere, in other words, or car parts or work in progress towards cars, which he says implies that there's excess inventory. That's a demand side problem, not a supply side problem. Hard to argue with that. And the other thing he's saying is that the competition, such as Volkswagen, is coming up with 30 new electric vehicle or mostly electric vehicle models this year. Tesla has two models and it's going to create a new one allegedly by the end of 2025. And he says, well, realistically, probably end of 26. And then he talks about the business model, which interested me the most, because that's, I think, highly relevant, bizarrely, for any inventory-based business, including small FBA businesses, even though it sounds so different to Tesla, doesn't it, on the surface of it. But he said, okay, the working model was predicated on great growth, very high fixed costs, and thus creating a negative working capital. What that means is you actually get paid to sell stuff. And I don't know all the details of Tesla. I probably should as an investor, shouldn't I? But I didn't do my homework. It's one of the things I'm learning to do over time. And he said, the thing is that works amazingly when you have 50% year-on-year growth, which they've had for the last decade. But he said, if that goes into reverse, as it's starting to now, what happens is that Tesla, first of all, has very high fixed costs, which it has to spread over fewer units. So that is a real problem. And it goes from negative working capital to positive. In other words, it sounds like a good thing, but it's not. Positive and negative in maths and finance don't necessarily mean good or bad. But in this case, it's bad. Positive working capital means you have to put money in up front in order to sustain production. Now, if you're not a finance-oriented person, those sound like so what statements, don't they? But if you're a bit more financially savvy, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to get this stuff, in my experience, then first of all, positive working capital, you have to get more and more money in up front. That means the more you sell, the more capital you need to tie up, which means, of course, that your stock price needs to be high if you are getting money from investors in the public markets, as Tesla does, or that you have to go and ask for loans. And in case of publicly traded companies, those are called bonds. And if small privately traded businesses, those are just straight up loans, really, of different kinds. I guess you could get a bond. I don't know the ins and outs of that. And of course, if your stock price is falling, it's harder to raise money from investors, and the whole thing starts to unwind quite quickly. So I think there are so many lessons from this. I think it's about a 6-minute video clip. I'll try and include it in the show notes because I think it's really educational. So general points that I'm going to take from this. I mean, first and foremost, and I really want to get this across. It was always a passion of mine these days to educate people like this. If you hear a pronouncement, you can oftentimes check the truth of that pronouncement or opinion about a company or indeed an industry, but particularly about a company, you just go and look at its financials. Now, with publicly listed companies, you can go and look at Tesla's listed financials on Yahoo Finance or whatever your favorite website is for free. And they are obliged by the SEC, that is the regulatory authorities in the USA, to have really stringently controlled and publicly available accounts. So it's true for Amazon, for that matter, if somebody starts pronouncing stuff about Amazon or TikTok, anything else. Now, TikTok's a bit more complex. The political football, I must do another podcast about that. My goodness. Anyway, so coming back to Tesla. Again, my point is not that I think I know where Tesla stock's going. Not that I necessarily think this guy is going to be right, but I think he's more likely to be right than wrong if he's basing his statements on sound analysis of the financials and of the markets that Tesla is in. And this stuff often isn't rocket science. So for example, it's more of a speculative thing to speculate what market share Tesla is going to retain of the electric vehicle market. So on the one hand, the market's going to explode, well, it is exploding in growth year on year. It may slow down, but it's going to be a big growth story, just like e-commerce has been over the last couple of decades and probably will continue to some degree to be over the next decade or so. But market share, how much of that wonderful growth you get, is a critical metric. And if the market's growing, but you're losing market share, then actually can be worse than it sounds. Because if the market's growing, each bit of market share is going to cost you more money, particularly if you've got negative working capital. So what I mean is, in order to sell, say, 30% of the electric vehicles in the world, when that is $100 million a year market, you need to make $30 million a year in revenue. And if you've got to invest money up front for that, I don't know what you're going to have to invest to drive that, but maybe it's a few million dollars, maybe it's 10, 20 million. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's a certain number. But if your market goes to a billion, 10 billion, and your market share slips to 20% of that market, then if you want to recap that market share, re-grab that market share, now you've got to get very, very, very big amounts of money indeed in play and very, very big revenue growth in absolute terms. I hope what I've said makes some kind of sense. The reason I mention this is because that is very, very analogous to extraordinary number of Amazon-based businesses that I've worked with over the years and seen and considered investing in and turned down because market share is so underappreciated. Looking at the financials is also massively underappreciated. Now, if you're really advanced, look at the profit and loss statement for the last 3 years rather than just the trailing 12 months. But guess what? I don't think that's deep enough. Personally, I always insist on seeing the balance sheets of any business that I'm serious about considering for acquisition or helping a client to analyze. And that's because an awful lot of the difficulty of an inventory-based business does not show up on the profit and loss. When you exchange cash for inventory, that doesn't really show up on the profit and loss. That's a cash flow or balance sheet question. In other words, you've changed one form of current asset, cash, for another, inventory. Turns out that you can't pay your bills with inventory. Even your suppliers who sold you some plastic widgets in the first place will not want them back to pay their bills. They want money. And so it can be, if you're not careful, a one-way street. You turn cash into stock and then the stock sits there because you've over-egged it like maybe Tesla has. And then you're in real trouble because if you run out of cash, it's game over in business. So lots and lots of lessons that strike me from this Tesla analysis. Very interesting to see what happens next. I guess I've got to go home and do my sums and do the financial analysis that I should have done when I invested in it and decide whether to stay invested or divest. But that's not really the point here. Again, I am not a stock market analyst. I'm not telling you what to do with your publicly traded stocks. But the reason I suppose I'm thinking in these terms is because I've been working on analyzing not one, but two Amazon FBA businesses on behalf of clients. One was an analysis of the financials, which I just completed yesterday. And today I'm finishing an analysis of the market. And that includes the stuff that's more familiar to Amazon sellers, which is why I'm focusing on using my skills there to help this client decide whether or not they should go ahead with an acquisition. So demand and supply, broadly speaking, how much competition is there? And then, of course, is this product suite or is a hero product, in this case, quite a small business, differentiated from the competition? And those are critical questions. But I do think that whilst analyzing a market is really important, that is not a skill that is under discussed in the Amazon seller space, the e-commerce space. But what I think is under discussed, and it's nice, therefore an easy win, is the proper analysis of the financial documents and really making sense of what is going on with the finances and how the business model works and how it can break as well. So that for me is the big lesson from today's very interesting analysis. And I will post it into the podcast as ever over at the blog 10kcollective.com. I will include that link there to the analysis by our Scandinavian friend. Thanks for listening. Hope that was thought-provoking. I'm off to go and work out whether I should sell my stock. Speak to you soon.
If you are considering acquiring an e-commerce business and you are not so familiar with the e-commerce markets, you could get some help from me, as I've done for a couple of my clients recently. It's quite a growing part of my consulting business, which is that I can have a look at an e-commerce business from you from really two perspectives and see if it would make sense for you to buy the thing before you get to the point of even putting in an LOI or letter of intent or heads of terms, depending which side of the pond you're on. And really, that would be the commercial due diligence and some basic financial areas. Now, the legal side I don't cover myself, and I'm not an accountant, nor do I play one on the internet, but the basic financials of it, nevertheless, still tell you a bit of a tale, as I hope today illustrates. And then what I can also do is look at the market you're considering going into, look at the demand, look at the competition, and evaluate really, is this a growing market? Is this competition manageable? Does the business have a solid grasp on the market, or even a dominance of the market that would make it a more attractive proposition? So if you want some help with that, just go to myamazonaudits.com. That's myamazonaudits.com. And I will be happy to give you half an hour of my time for free to look at that. And if you send me some documents, I'll even spend a bit of time having a quick look at the financials and a quick look at the market on Amazon as well, to give you a good early steer of whether you should consider buying the business or not. Obviously, if you own a business of your own already on Amazon, I can give you similar feedback as well. It may be with a view to selling it, potentially. I tend to act on behalf of people buying, not buying, those selling, but the same insights apply in both cases. Thank you so much for listening, and speak to you soon.